Good evening. It's wonderful, is it not, to be able to come together and look into God's Word. Shall we just pray? Father, we do thank you again this evening that we can come together to look into your Word. We do pray, Father, that there will be a blessing to each one that is listening this evening, as there will be a blessing for the speaker, that we may all take heed of that which is written in your Word. We thank you that it is not there to edify us, but to edify and glorify your name. So we commit ourselves to you this evening, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our first reading will be in the book of Isaiah and chapter 6. And we had a look at a little bit of chapter 6 this morning, and I'm not going to cover those verses, save that I'd like to read the first verse in Isaiah 6, and then we'll move on from verse 9 to verse 13. Isaiah 6 and verse 1 reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up." In the year that King Uzziah died, or in 2 Kings, Azariah. If you go to 2 Kings, you don't need to, 2 Kings 14 and 2 Kings 15, and also 2 Chronicles 26, you will read of this same man. In the Kings, it says Azariah, and in the Chronicles, it says Uzziah. It is the same man. He was a king of Judah, and for the most part, he did well in the sight of God. For the most part. I don't want to concentrate on him, but he was a great man. He was a military tactician. He was an inventor. He had a lot to do with agriculture and the digging of wells. He ruled in a prosperous time. Make no mistake. He was loved, much loved, of the people. Quite a clever fellow. It's interesting here in the first verse of chapter 6, Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Now, I wonder. Until King Uzziah died, what was Isaiah concentrating on? Like most of the people in Judah, was he fixated somewhat with this marvelous king? Did he have eyes on the king? Did he have eyes on the prosperity of the land? The peaceful nature of the government? Did he have eyes on the earthly things? Well, maybe he did. And it could have been that it wasn't until this man died that Isaiah's focus shifted to the things of the Lord. I don't know. You can imagine that this would be so. He was not so much transported physically, but certainly his attention was drawn to the heavenly places, and he saw things that maybe in 2 Corinthians, when we look at it, Paul was not able to speak about. Here we find things here that he was able to speak about. The majesty on high. But he has a commission. And we'll read Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 9 to 13. After he has said, you'll notice in verse 8, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Now that might sound all very difficult. But what he's saying here is that these people, after he was sent on his commission, simply wouldn't listen to him. Now the scene that he's looking at, and maybe he didn't fully understand, was when these people were going to go into captivity, and that was going to happen some time away. King Uzziah died about 740 BC, and 660 or something like that BC, they went into captivity. So there's a time lapse. But what he was telling them was, to get your house in order here. Listen to what I'm saying, it is of the Lord. The more he preached, the less they listened. The more he showed them what was to come, the less they saw. How very sad it is. We know we can look back and we can see the things that Isaiah was talking about came to pass. They were taken away into captivity. They were treated wretchedly. And a small percentage actually got back to the land of Judah. Many of them had died, and sadly many of them didn't want to go back. Now I'd like to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and we're going to read verses 6 through 13. And they say, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into song or singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Isaiah's words seem to be falling on deaf ears. It says it here. The more he preached, the less they heard. But God's word says that none of his words would be in vain. That every one of them would prosper in the thing, not where Isaiah wanted it to go, but where God wanted it to go. Every one of his words would have found its mark. Every one. Now we know the story that when they did go back, there was much murmuring. There was much discontent. They had work to do. Some of them didn't want to be there. We've read those stories. But every one of Isaiah's words went to whomsoever the Lord had planned it to go. None wasted. No, not one. Not one. I think that would have uplifted Isaiah's heart. You know, when you're telling somebody something, when their life is in peril or they're doing something that they maybe shouldn't be doing, they're walking themselves into danger and you tell them and they don't listen. How sad it is for the person that's telling someone. Don't go there, it's dangerous. Complete ignore. This is what Isaiah was doing. And they were ignoring this man of God. And I find it very sad. But he didn't give up. We know Isaiah's stories. We know his ups and we know his downs. We know King Uzziah's ups and his downs. What about our ups and downs? You know, you might say that this man Uzziah preached thousands of years ago to a people who were not us, to a time that was different. What relevance has it got to us? Well, as we saw this morning, when we looked at the vision that he saw, and we saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the majesty and the might of his power, his mercy, and his undertaking for that man of unclean lips, we would see that it is relevant. And although he was speaking to a people that were about to go into captivity, they were already in captivity. Already. And the captivity that they're in was self-imposed. You'll remember right back, God said, if you do this, and they all said through that man Moses, we will do it. And straight away they didn't do it. Self-imposed captivity. They went some years after this into captivity that they had no control over. Nebuchadnezzar, we know the story well. They went into bondage. Daniel and his three cohorts and pretty much everything that was worth anything in Jerusalem and its surround. Pretty much everything. Even after 70 years, there was only a small remnant that wanted to go back. In that book of Daniel, we only really read of four men who stood up for the Lord. I'm sure that there was more others, but we only read of four. Were they listening? It didn't appear that they were. And there was many people telling them. There was Zechariah telling them back home. There was Ezekiel telling them in the land of captivity. There was Daniel. The more they spoke, the less people listened. It's very similar today, isn't it? The more the word of God is proclaimed, the less it is listened to. Our brother said that the people enjoyed the service, but there was too much gospel. How can there be too much good news? We open the newspapers, we turn on the TV, there is nothing but bad news. Surely there would be no amount of good news that we wouldn't accept. But it is not the case. It is not the case. Isaiah loved his people. He had a concern for their safety. They were in imminent peril of being wiped out. And he told them so. And he kept telling them so. And they kept rejecting him. He saw a number of kings of Israel. He was an old man when he died. He never stopped proclaiming God's word. My word that goeth forth shall not return void. You know, that's why I believe men who are born again, women who are born again of the Lord, proclaim his word. Because this promise is as valid today as it was then. It will not return void. That's why we're here this evening. Now, as we look around, and as I look around from up here, I don't know the heart of man. I know many of you, and I know your position on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some that I don't. Is this message falling on deaf ears? God forbid. God forbid. Would it be this evening that the few that I don't know are in the category that my word shall not return unto me void? And there will be great rejoicing even tonight. You see, Isaiah was talking about salvation. He was talking about doing what God has said unto salvation. Physical and spiritual. There's the two realms. They needn't have gone into captivity. The nations needn't have been split. 10 from 2. That needn't have happened. If they had only listened to men like Isaiah. Instead of maybe looking at men like Uzziah. Good men doing good works. In an earthly term, good men. I don't know about you, I guess I was one of the ones that I used the term with cloth ears. Just didn't go in. Weren't prepared to listen. Didn't care. And men like Isaiah, and men like Uzziah, I was prepared to listen to, but only some of them I was prepared to hear. I heard the Uzziahs. Oh, they could do. They were great. But I didn't hear the Isaiahs. But the Lord is good, and his word is true. And I'm standing here this evening. What about you? What about you? You know, it's all about the cross of Calvary. Back then, it was the same set of rules as we have now. The Word of God. And God. Sovereign. Holy. Righteous. Merciful. Loving. Same as now. Same God. We read in the New Testament of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming God, proclaiming salvation. He came to his own, and they received him not. The more he spoke, the less they heard. The more he did, the less they saw. How sad that must have made him. Much sadder than Isaiah. For this was the Lord of glory who had come. And today they still won't hear. And they still won't see. Self-imposed hearing loss, deafness, and self-imposed blindness. Self-imposed. You know, The Lord Jesus Christ is calling this evening each one of us. Some might be to repentance. Some he might be calling to consecration. Surely he is calling all that know him to service. He's calling. Are we listening? Those that need to repent, are they listening? Those of us who struggle, are we listening? Those of us who are serving, are we listening? Or are we like this people that we've read about, who didn't care, it will never happen to us? How many times have you heard that? It'll never happen to me. You know this king, Uzziah? He was king when he was 16. Reigned for over 50 years. Did wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. As I've said, a military tactician, an inventor, agriculture, digging of wells. And you know what he was most known for? Died as a leper. Died as a leper. That's his epitaph. He died as a leper because he strayed from the Word of God. He strayed from the Word of God. What will your epitaph be? Died as an unbeliever? Or died knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? You know, we've had two funerals here in the last week or so. One man and one woman. Neither of them died as a leper. They died as they lived in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question again goes out. What is your state? It's serious. His leprosy was terminal. He never recovered. He never recovered. We have a chance this evening, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, to recover. It's called sin. And it's terminal. It's terminal. We will all die. We will all die. But it's what we die as that's going to make the difference. The choice is yours, not mine. I've made it. The time is now. I've spoken many times like this, and you see people leave to discuss it another day. I do pray that that day will come for you. I really do. But there's only one sure thing, there's only one guarantee, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's calling right now. What will your answer be? Shall we pray? Father,